Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning, everybody. That you're beautiful, just the way you are. Welcome to You're Important to Sarah. I have a wonderful guest phoning in from England today, novelist Sam Hawksmoore. We are going to cover a few things for us. I'm going to have to just point out to my host here at the present moment, I'm getting some double talk going on here, so if she can just correct that. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and talk and hope that we don't have any feedback on the radio here. So I want to welcome to You're Important to Sarah. As we said, we'll get to Sam Hawksmoore, the novelist, in a moment. First, I'm just going to cover a little business. For all of you who do have been following me, you know that my company is called The Importance of You. And The Importance of You is all about how important you are in your own life. So what I want you to look at is understanding why being important in your own life is more important than the self-importance. And the importance of yourself is putting yourself first so that you can be whole in your whole existence. And when you're whole in your whole existence, you're able to give to everyone else. I am offering a program right now called The View of Life. It's an online program. So if you go to my site, The Importance of You, that is the letter U, not a Y-O-U, theimportanceofyou.ca, and go to You're Important to Sarah, you'll see that I have The View of Life on offer at the present moment. The View of Life is a program that allows you to look at your life from the outside in, understanding where you are now, the decision makings you have made that have led you to this point, and what you can do in order to unravel yourself, see your life more clearly, so you're a better understanding of how to move forward into your own life. It's a very simple program. It answers many, many questions and gives you the clarity that you need in order to move forward. So what I'm going to do right now is talk about why reading is very, very important. You know, we love movies and billions is made at the movie houses and we love the stimulation of a good movie and the sound and the action and the love story and etc. But when it comes down to it, really something that inspires our creativity and our imagination is reading. I love reading a book. When I read, it is my interpretation of the story that I'm reading. I become part of the characters. It takes me along this journey that stimulates me. It builds creativity. It inspires one. But one of the things that I find that it does for me is when I put a book down, it stays with me for a while. It's not like a program on to the next. The book stays with me. And I generally find that a good book will always answer to something I'm needing to know in my own life, that paralyzing that's going on there. Especially if I'm reading something like fantasy, science fiction, of which Sam's book is. I love the youth-orientated books for which Sam writes for. I love thrillers, whodunits, and I do love biographies as well. But I love receiving an answer that I need in my own life through reading books. And books just take you somewhere vastly different to what a movie or TV show can do. And I'm sorry to see that the art of reading is not as strong as it used to be. And I encourage people to pick up a book. Delve into a book. Get lost in it. Step outside of yourself. Find the book speaking to you. And let it, let it just kind of bring you alive. And, fulfill you. Let it be something that, you know, you want to do, and let it be something that inspires you to get somewhere where you want to go, because reading can do that. Okay, reading can really answer your questions. Reading can take you places that you didn't know. Reading is an education. Reading is an inspiration. And I really, you know, come on, everybody, just pick up a book, switch off the TV, dive into something, and just go on a fantasy trip. A book like Repossession by Sam Horsmore. And it's a very, very adventurous story, which he has a sequel coming out in August. It takes you on a real roller coaster. You never quite know where it's going to go next. Some parts of it are quite gross, and other parts of it are like, oh, my God. And it is also a wonderful love story. And it is about inspiration. It is about overcoming. It is about striving, never giving up and never giving in. And having said that, now I'd like to introduce you to Sam. Sam Horsmore from England. Thank you so much for calling in today, Sam. And how about you tell us a little bit more about Repossession?
Hi, Sarah, and I will do that right now. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Definitely
okay,
can.
Repossession is a story, it's a love story, oddly enough, even though it begins quite scarily with a girl imprisoned in her bedroom by a mentally deranged mother and a wicked Reverend Schneider. It's set up back country of BC in a place called Spur Lake, which is a bit like Hope, if you've ever been there. A little place overshadowed by a mountain, etc. And she has to escape. So the boyfriend has to work all summer to get enough money to persuade someone so he can free her. Gets her out onto the river, and then incredibly there's a flash flood. And where they end up at the end of that flash flood is quite a scary place. So
yes,
that's
actually,
the story of
Jeannie
and Ryan.
Yes, and I kind of love, I'm not going to give it away, but I actually love who they come across in that flash flood. That was quite a twist that was not expected and kind of rather fun. I think I love also the fact that you actually insert here fact into your story. And there is actually a fact here about missing kids, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, in Canada alone, there are about 80,000 kids that go missing every year. I quickly must add about 56% of them are found within 72 hours, but there are a lot that aren't, who are never
right,
found,
well,
that's quite scary. Yeah,
we have become very much a throwaway society, haven't we? And it's kind of like, you know, we don't hear this. We don't hear this on the news about kids going missing. You know, if there's a young kid, there's an Amber Alert, etc. But there are so many kids that go missing. And the immediate assumption is that they're just, you know, gone, being street kids. They're running away from home. And nobody begins to look for them until it's too late.
I think one of the problems is the Amber Alert is really for tiny children. But
yes.
It's the discontented teens who are the real problem. And a lot of the
right.
problem is obviously they're challenging, if you like, the parents at home or whatever. But there is a big problem, a breakdown, I think, a parental breakdown, right across the Western culture. Here, it's similar in England, about 80,000 a year. In America, it's about 1 million a year that go missing. Now,
of course,
many are found.
Yes, but we also do see an incredible amount of trafficking that is going on. And, you know, everybody thinks that, Asian kids being brought in or, you know, different ethnicities coming in, but they don't realize it's happening on their own back door, on doorstep.
It's just jailed a ring here. They've been targeting young girls up in the north of England and trafficking them. It's extraordinary. And the kids even complained to the police, and the police did nothing. But I just want to add that this book is not about that. I've just taken a particular group of
kids. No, but I thought the fact that how you managed to take something that is absolutely so factual, and, you know, you make a story out of it. But, I mean, this is where I was talking about the reality within, you know, a story of a fantasy or sci-fi. You know, it is when things become so real in a book is when you really can parallel it to real life, your own life or to life, what's going on. And that's, I think, what kind of makes the story more juicy and kind of gets you into it and start really looking upon it as a fictional story and kind of looking upon it more as a, this could really be, you know, this is really what's happening here, this really could happen here. So how much of writing fictional stories you know, comes from reality with you?
Well, for me, it's I like to take a real life subject, and of course, it's not just about missing kids; it's about people who are experimenting upon them, and that's the fairly gross part about the whole story. But the idea is that there are people there without moral scruples who will regard sort of, if you like, runaways as a perfect, they're perfect people to experiment on because no one cares, right? No one's
right.
looking for them.
Exactly.
And so that's what the story is about. And you only have to go down on Hastings Street down in Vancouver to realize there are a lot of people out there who people no longer care about. And the importance of you, if you like, is the fact that people need to remember that they need to value themselves, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because
I think for a lot of teenagers, they go through that thing, and my life isn't worth anything and whatever. But yes, it is. And you have to, I don't know, if people are kinder to each other, maybe we'd all like each other a bit more, you know?
Yes, that would be much nicer if people were kinder to one another. But, you know, I know teenagers that are in a very good home and very much loved, and you really have nothing to be angst about. But it seems to be a teenage thing that, you know, to get angst, you know, conspiracies and up against the world, and, you know, the world owes them everything. And I think it's part of that chemistry going through the teens. And it is hard for a parent, because I've raised three, to kind of live through that and know what to do, because, you know, their mood swings so very much. And I think, you know,
absolutely.
We need to get that village of raising children and not just keep putting it onto a stressed parent or, you know, parents, when you do actually have two parents raising a kid, you know, back to the village, back to the community, and back to people there helping one another. And so that you don't have these kids feeling isolated and feeling like they've got nowhere to go. I also do think, though, you know, getting back to media, I mean, you know, I love TV and I love movies, and they're all great stimulation. But I do think that because of, you know, texting, computers, phones, movies, and video games and everything else, that kids are getting overstimulated and do not know how to find this place of, you know, tranquility, where I think they could get that through reading. I think if they just took time out, picked up a book, go on an adventure with a book, that they wouldn't have time to get so angst as they seem to by this overstimuli of everything else out there electronic.
Well, you know, it's not all bad. I mean, 10 million people have bought The Hunger Games, Sarah, so, you know, there are kids reading.
Yeah,
and,
there are.
You
there
actually
are.
Have one of the best children's writers. It's actually there in BC, a woman called Carrie Mack, who wrote the wonderful Droughtlanders. And, that, you know, I have no idea why that isn't a worldwide bestseller. And
it all comes down to marketing, doesn't it, as we know?
You know? Yeah. She's a brilliant writer, and talking to kids about real issues, terrorism, about climate change, etc. And that's just an inspirational book for me, actually.
Well, therefore, I need to go to get her onto this radio show and give her a little more platform to get out there. For sure, I will do. So tell me, what inspires you to write? Because I know that you are a born writer. For you, it's not just a discipline, it's a passion and a love. What inspires you to pick up the pen and write? Because I know that you write by hand before you get onto the computer.
Yes, I still write. That's mostly because I write in coffee bars, mostly. So,
right.
And then, you know, if you go to the loo, they're not going to steal your manuscript or your laptop. You know, you'll be all right. anyway, so I'd be inspired by all kinds of things, whether it's things that are going on around us. I mean, God, you know, Europe's imploding, Greece may leave the euro, you know, a whole bunch of things that may not seem translate too much to kids. But you know what? It affects kids. It affects their future. And so many kids now are so anxious about the future. That's what I write about, basically.
Yeah. So kind of moments of despair where looking like everything is lost, you always manage to give them a ray of hope and something to cling to and to fight
for. Despair is my hope.
Yes. I've always called you the optimistic pessimist.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, I always look on the dark side, and that rather helps in young adult fiction, you know.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, you wouldn't be able to do anything else other than writing, would you? Because writing is absolute. I mean, you're a teacher. You have taught in university, and you've taught MBAs?
MA.
MAs.
Masters programs, yeah.
Right, master and program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be doing some more of that this summer here, over here. But it's what's interesting about it is that people are inspired to write for this market for kids. But the hard thing is just to make, you know, I say to them, what have you read? And quite often they haven't read anything. They say, well, you can't write unless you're reading.
It's, yes.
You know, doesn't make sense otherwise. You need to have at your fingertips and in your brain all the other people, what they're creating, because there's no point in repeating what other people are doing, you know.
Right. Well, it's rather like a singer, you know, not listening to anybody else's song and just getting out there thinking they have the top hit.
Yeah. And it's a hard thing. You've got to generate, well, you've got to generate believable characters. That's the main thing. And good dialogue, of course. And you've got to always have a good dog in it, I always say.
Of course. I'm waiting for Kokomo to be a feature in one of your books.
Moocher got into this one. And that's the dog at the farmhouse where I go in the summer. So that's where
that's
in the
south of France. Yeah. And also, you set this book up here in Vancouver, because I know you very much love Vancouver. But what, you know, why in particular did you kind of set the, set it here in Vancouver? What was it about it that kind of, you know, spoke to you for this book?
Well, I like that the Okanagan area, the little towns, all the sort of towns situated up the Fraser River, and all of that, it's an area that's rife with problems as well, I might add. A lot of runaway kids, etc. So I wanted to use that as an area, but also because BC or Vancouver in particular is in the forefront of quite a lot of new sciences, in whether it's biotechnology or electrical development, etc. And therefore, for me, it's much more believable that it would be happening there because they are investing in these things, whereas it's a bit tired over here. Hardly anything new is happening over here.
And I know you really like to be very authentic in your writing, that you always, as I say, like to have, you know, a good percentage of fact and truth and feasibility, along with the imagination that comes out of it. So I think that's what makes your book so much more believable, for the fact that, you know, there is so much kind of realism in it. And that's why I think when I'm putting the book down, and this is always, you know, for me a test, when I put a book down, does it stay in my mind? Is that all I think about for the next few days, where it goes over and over in my mind? And when there is that certain amount of realism in there that you can really look at, just it makes everything, you know, like, gosh, this could be really so. You know, this isn't so far-fetched, even though you think, oh, no, it could never happen. But all we have to do is just look back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and look at, you know, how much and how fast we have gone technically, that anything really is feasible now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the best review I got for the book so far is someone wrote, oh, my God, I need book two now. So
exactly.
That's my... That was the best review.
I cannot wait for August for the next book. And that's the frustrating thing is the waiting. I want them all, and I want a third book as well. So,
third
book is going to come out?
I don't know. Well, the third one we're still in discussion about. It's everything moves like a glacier in publishing. It's incredibly slow, you know.
And that's actually the frustrating thing. You know, they want to keep publishing alive and, you know, have people actually read paperback books and books. But, you know, it does seem to be the publishing world is still very arcade and they need to kind of get with it, so to speak, and to catch up. Otherwise, it will be left behind. You see this in every other arena.
Everything is moving on to the iPad and to Kindle. But, of course, kids aren't necessarily reading on those, certainly not here. I know more in the States and in Canada, but in general, the biggest problem we've got is that diminishing bookshops. So everyone's scared.
And we've
to order
just had the bookshop close here as well. They're struggling to stay alive. So folks, go and support your local bookshops.
Yeah, that is absolutely, and they will get a book for you if you want it. They will get it. But of course,
yes.
I'm lucky. My books are on Amazon there in the States and in the USA. So Repossession by Sam Altman is on there. You can order it. But,
yes, Amazon.ca.
Yep, both of them, .com and .ca. And the I'm just wondering, I don't read books on electronic books now, but my friend Kit got her iPad, and she now only reads books on, on her iPad. She really prefers it, you know?
Yes.
And I can understand that. It's so much more convenient when you're traveling, you know?
Yeah, there is that, and you could, of course, carry more books, and then it's easier to turn the pages, etc. So I do understand the way it's going. And although paperback, I do like to feel, you know, a paper book in my hand, and I like to see it up on my shelf because I don't throw my books away. I like my library. I do understand why people go the other way, because it is more convenient to carry and everything else. And the bottom line is, as long as people are reading, you know, and it does perhaps maybe reach more people.
I don't know if it's the same chemistry when you have printer electronic. I downloaded the book onto my phone. It's over 1,000 pages on my phone. So.
Well, there's no way. I think you have to be about 10 or 15 or something to be able to read things on a phone. I mean, we've got to our age, forget it. You know, we've got a caller here, Sam, so let's bring on Carlos, who would like to ask you a few questions.
Hello, Carlos.
I think she's just getting Carlos on. Oh, here we go. Hello? I can't hear you. I'm afraid, Carlos, are you there?
I was away.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Carlos. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, what question do you have for Sam today?
I actually just got in, and I was looking at this website. What is your main character's drive?
What is my main character's what?
What is your main character's drive?
Drive?
For Jeannie, it's about survival, really, and her love of Ryan, her boyfriend, and it's just... Literally, in this particular one, it's about staying alive, but also making sure that he's safe and protecting him, even though, of course, he's having to do a lot of protecting of her. And she's got a sort of an ability to, like a shaman, she can travel through time and space a little bit. And her drive is to basically understand what is going on around her.
I think there's also a thing in her character is a sense of justice as well.
Well, yes, she has a deep sense of justice and fairness. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so kind of, you know, fighting for the underdog.
Yeah,
are you there, Paolo?
I'm here.
Paolo, so you actually get a free copy of Sam's book. So if you actually write into info@authenticallyyoumedia.com, with your name and your information, contact information, where we need your email address and phone number, a book will be sent to you.
Awesome. Could you link that in the chat room?
Yes, I will do. I can't do that right now. Actually, Michelle has just told me that she can do that for you. I can't get into the chat room until after the show is done, but I will certainly put it up for you there. And
no problem.
Make sure your name is there. Do you have any other questions for Sam, Carlos? Are you an avid reader?
I am. I love reading science fiction and fantasy, both, and just characters with a lot of drive, and like I love books that have like a very just solid
strong
story with solid characters.
You will love this book then, because it's, you know, it is, I mean, kind of, I think poor little Jeannie actually has to have multiple personalities here in a lot of sense of what she's dealt, you know, has to be dealing with. But I think you're going to really love the strength of her character. And also the, you know, the love and devotion of Ryan, because, you know, it's all very well being the hero, but if you haven't got somebody that believes in you, it's hard for that hero to maintain that heroism. So I think you're going to really love the characters in here. And as I said, I'd love to get feedback from you once you've read the book to Sam.
Oh, definitely.
Put it on Amazon. That's always the best thing to do, yeah.
Yes.
Will do.
But you can actually go to samhawksmore.com, which is S-A-M-H-A-W, no, H-A-S, Sam, real, give us your Sam Hawksmoor.
Right, it's Sam Hawksmoor. You can just put it in. S-A-M-H-A-W-K.
I'm actually on the site. And,
all right.
Oh, you are?
Right. Yeah.
So once you've read the book, you need to put some comments in there.
Okay.
Anyway, and you'll also find on there some little extra stories. If you look hard, you'll find them there. About the main character. Okay, thank
so
you very much for calling
in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Carlos. So we have no other callers at the present moment, so only one book given away. Guys, if you want to receive a free book, call in now. You've got 4 minutes. And you will not regret it. It's a great novel. I absolutely loved it. And the only frustration was is I wanted to pick up the next one immediately. I hate being left in it. You know, it's like the season enders of a good show that you love watching. You've got to wait months before it comes back out again. And so it really teaches us patience. But I think you'll love the adventure of Jeannie and Ryan. And really kind of a lot of it, too, is that, you know, kids place a great deal of faith in adults. And, you know, sometimes it's misplaced because as adults, I'm not sure that we're stepping up to the plate in looking after our kids. Why are they going missing? Why are they running from home? Why is this all, you know, dysfunctional? Now, you know, I am a parent. I know what it's like to raise children. I know what it's like to raise very independent children. And I wanted them to be very strong, independently minded kids. In that, of course, you get a little backlash. But the thing is, kids need to know that they're loved. They need to know that you value them. You need to know that they need to know that you believe in them. And they need to know because they are going through a confusing time in their teens. It is part of the chemistry. They are going into a world where it's unsure that they'll even be able to find a job, never mind a life career. We've left a mess for them. And so, you know, sometimes give them a little slack here because, you know, really we screw things up for them, guys. And, you know, they've got hopes, they've got dreams, and now they're looking at how am I going to pay for university? What is there out there for me? The world is crumbling. Remember that everything that falls is only falling so it can be rebuilt. So youth out there, look to the part that you are the rebuilders. We're there to help you rebuild. We've got the plans and the blueprints, but you are the builders of the future, and we believe in you. So don't give up hope. Can you give us a little synopsis of the next book, Sam?
Well, the current continues on, and basically the kids are running this $10,000 reward on each of their heads. They've got guys with guns following them, and they've got to turn around at some point and either fight it or give in. So I don't want to give anything more away, but that's what they're going to have to do.
So there will be a battle that will ensue.
And it all ends up in Whistler.
In Whistler? Oh, are we in ski season or summer?
It's summer, actually, but there isn't much left of Whistler at the end of the book, put it that way.
Oh, no. Yes, you have a habit of destroying cities in BC.
I never really
liked it. Let's keep on standing, please.
The hardest part is keeping the dog alive.
Oh, no, you have to keep the dog alive. You cannot kill the dog, definitely not. And actually, I do know that you have another book that I read when I visited you of The Black Cat, and I hope that book is going to be coming out soon because that story was fantastic, and I'm so looking forward to seeing a finished product there. Is there any likelihood of that?
Not yet. I told you, everything's very slow here. Everyone's worried about whether they're going to be in business next week or not, so, you know. I just have to be patient, even though I am not very good at it, I have to tell you.
Okay, so therefore, a North American publisher out there, get hold of Sam Hawksmoor, okay? Let's get this guy over here in North America. You need this. You need these stories. You need these books. I predict them to be your next trilogy movies, and they'll be fantastic as movies because they are so full of excitement. Well, Sam, we've got 30 seconds. So I'm going to thank you so much for coming on, and I hope that we reach a lot of people with your books. And I'm looking forward to the second one. And thanks so much for being on air today.
And thank you for having me on.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Remember, next week I'm going to be talking to Tabitha Coe. Yes, she's my daughter. I'm going to talk to her about the experiences of South Africa and the absolute wonderful spirit of her journey that she had there. Until next week, I wish everybody much blessings and great joy. Bye for now.